Are they cooked? Maybe we should play the club. Can you play the club and music, Lindsay? The entire first segment?
The new weather audio?
Yeah, can you just play that? Carter, should play the bumping? Laura, you want to hear a little bumping music the entire time?
Yes, I do.
We're bumping and lathering today, Chad.
We're bumping and lathering. That's what we're doing. Sounds tremendous to me. Wait a second.
I'm going to see if I can get it.
Can you turn Adam's microphone on here?
Yeah.
Oh, here we go.
Usually the lathering comes before the bumping.
Yeah, that is. That is
in your world.
Hi, everybody. It's Hot Talk.
Coming at you.
It's Rod Irons. We'll be bumping and grinding. Two for one for the ladies.
Honeybees.
At Honeybees. Margaritas on the house. Luscious Laura is here.
Ooh.
What's on your mind, Laura? Why have you stopped on by?
Because I heard you were lathering up in here, and I had to get a look for myself.
What do you think, Laura? You're only human. Take it in. David Josephson, the man who believes in standing no matter what, is leaving the studio. Adam Carter's in here. He thought it was 42 degrees. He's got a winter coat on. How cold was it when you came in here?
It was cold. I'm a chilly now.
You're chilly?
I'm a chill baby.
Oh, boy, if you play it longer, it goes to a different level. Laura, when did you have your clubbing days?
My clubbing days?
Yeah.
Oh, God. Well, before I was old enough to drink, I'm sure I started like about 17, 18.
Yep.
Through, oh, gosh, probably up until I got married and stuff. So 25, 26.
Okay. Now, this man said numerous times years ago that in his prime, he was about a 9.5 as a dancer.
Adam?
Is that about right? 8.5, 9.5, didn't you say?
Eight.
Eight.
I could see that.
Yeah. I can see it, too, because you are willing to just let go.
Yeah.
You are willing to be free out there. I've seen you let go a couple times, and it's been problematic.
I let go a long time ago.
Especially when a friend of yours shows up at the house at 2 a.m. Kurtz! Kurtz! I mean, well, he's been asleep for 3 hours, you know. I doubt myself on the dance floor. I pretty much, outside of my toe now, walking, apparently, I doubt. That's just another sad story. I don't doubt myself much. Like the dance floor, I doubt myself.
Yeah.
Laura, you cannot doubt yourself on the dance floor, right?
You just got to let it go.
You got to let it go.
Yeah.
Cut loose.
Nobody's judging.
That's the thing.
You just got to move.
They don't really care. Unless you're so spectacular, then they might linger.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, circle. Sure. Form a circle around you.
Form a circle. You know? How many times is that up to you?
It's happened before.
Oh, get out of here.
When he does the worm, everybody circles.
I know I did the worm one time, and I slammed my jaw into the floor.
I will donate $1,000 to any charity of your choice if you do the worm.
I'm afraid that ruined me for life.
On this carpet.
Oh, God, no.
On this carpet.
Give me weeks to live after I do that.
How about I'll give you $1,000. If I go
lick the carpet,
I would never do that.
I want to see that.
Oh my! No, you don't. How about I'll buy you lunch and I lay it out on the carpet?
No.
When do we think this carpet was installed?
Well, I know when it was installed. When was that? They did the studio redo in like 07, maybe.
Yeah.
So what was this studio before?
It was the studio. It was just a different configuration.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Was it the one where it kind of went down?
Yeah,
in
there
the
was a pit.
Yeah, there was a pit.
The producer pit.
And what was the thinking on that?
Who knows? That
like
was
a
there
tariff?
Before we got
we were tariffing your beneath us, literally.
Yeah.
Yeah, this carpet is grotesque. Lindsay, dancing skills. Goaltender, athlete.
Goaltender, flexibility, go hand in hand.
I got to believe excellent. And you also let it go.
Yeah.
You are not regulating yourself.
I don't want to be taken seriously on the dance floor. So I'm that's probably the place I'm most likely to make eye contact with someone over any other place in the world is on the dance floor.
Really?
Because I'm going to line you up and I'm going to say, this is me and you, my friend.
Yeah. They're coming at you with the shoulders shaking.
Yep. I'm not challenging to a battle, but I want to share
sounds
a moment.
Sounds like it is
with
a battle.
No.
It's a dance battle right there.
I don't know. Sometimes I get nervous about what to do with my hands. It just depends
me
on how
too.
Anxious I am on that day.
If you weren't anxious there with the shoulder shimmy.
The shoulder shimmy?
It's because Adam and I have an understanding.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is that?
What is that?
Would you like to know?
Hold on a second. What's that understanding?
It takes one to know one on the dance floor. Yeah. Let's just say that. Mm-hmm.
Have you had the crowd circle around you like Adam, apparently, you know, on a regular basis?
I have not, but I have been on the edge of a mosh pit, and that's where peak aggression happens. Mm. Have you ever been on the edge of a mosh pit?
Him?
Yeah.
I've been at some pretty crowded concerts in small venues. So not quite a mosh pit. Does that count like the bunker just off the green?
The bunker. Or, no, no. You're no. throwing elbows. That's our church.
Well, see, that's when I'm a better dancer. When there's a lot of people around me.
You're hiding.
I'm hiding.
Blend in.
I'm not doubting
myself.
Safety
in numbers.
Safety in numbers. Okay, in your day, Laura, when you dance.
I still dance.
Okay, I know you do. Okay, yeah. Like, where do you go?
Oh, well, I'm just not really clubbing. I'm talking like maybe at a wedding or at a party or something like that.
Seems like we should have had a WCCO radio wedding at some point the last 10 years, right?
Yeah. Well, I had one, but that was a long time ago. That was 25 years ago.
Okay, I had one, and none of you were invited.
You were in Vegas.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got pictures pretty quick, though.
Maybe it's your turn.
Things are too good right now. Doesn't it seem like we should have had somebody get married here?
Here at the station?
Well, not
or
literally.
Or you mean an employee?
An employee.
I had one early, too, and Laura was at my first one.
Yep.
Where was your wedding at?
Eau Claire, Wisconsin.
Eau Claire, Wisconsin.
That was so fun.
That was a
fun wedding.
So you were working here how long before you and Heidi got married?
3 years.
3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Is Heidi from Eau Claire?
Yes.
Okay. Big?
I think it was like 250, maybe.
250? All right, we could just dump the whole Wolves, are they done or not? Because I'm going to get to it with Mike Breen. Okay, how about this one? We've done this before.
You have Mike Breen on?
Mike Breen's on.
Nice.
235. Yep.
The largest lead of the night. Can you stop saying that, please?
Didn't realize Rudy Martsky was in the room here. Do you want to stick around? Just tell Mike.
Hey, Mike, I love your work.
I got some tips. What makes a great wedding? Okay, stay. Let's pause. What makes a great wedding? And, Laura, you've been married how many times?
Twice.
Once. Lindsay?
Zero times.
Seven times?
Zero times. Thank goodness.
Did we all have great weddings? Because can you be honest and say the wedding wasn't that great? What makes a great wedding? And do you think you had a great wedding? Calls, texts? Sign language.
Vows.
Smoke signals. Whatever you'd like. 651-461-9226. We for sure will get back to the Wolves. We were kind of at the Wolves and then we left. But Mike Breen, the voice of the NBA, great human being. Uh-oh. Adam's headphone volumes. How loud were those? My God, Pete Townsend over there or...
Turned up all the way.
Woo!
That was not a pleasant experience.
Okay, so let's start there, Laura, with the wedding.
Yeah.
Band or DJ makes a great wedding. Which one do you want?
The band has to be excellent if it's a band, but if it's not an excellent band, then a DJ for sure.
I agree 100% on that one. Do you?
Yeah, good band is tough to beat.
I would say for us, I forget the name. Probably good because I'd rip it right
now. Rolling Stones.
Yeah. R.E.M. No, we went and saw a number of people, and it seemed like she was going to be good. First of all, she was practicing because she was a part of the wedding, too. She's practicing like 20 minutes before the wedding started, and we had a bigger wedding. There's all sorts of people around. And you're like, couldn't you have done this like 3 hours before?
Was she sound checking? It was that.
Yeah.
Okay.
The sound check, but it was too close. Like, you don't want all the folks there.
Right. Yeah.
She was just okay. Yeah. Did not live up to that. But if you get a good band, way better than the DJ, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How important is the food?
Food is important, but it doesn't have to be fancy food. I think the whole gist is to have people feel relaxed and comfortable. And whether you're serving sub sandwiches or filet mignon, it doesn't matter if they're having a good time and feel comfortable at your place.
The food can set the vibe, though, right? And it doesn't. I'm with Laura, Adam. doesn't have to be fancy.
No, mm-hmm. not at all.
Right?
We had a pig roast at my second wedding outside.
Pig
Hell
roast?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah, it was awesome. It was just a barbecue.
Was it sponsored by Jason DeRosa?
It was not.
Yeah.
I didn't know the man back then.
Yeah. Mary Ann wants to chime in. Go ahead, Mary Ann. What makes a great wedding, Mary Ann?
I say the people. Mm-hmm. you're going to get family and relatives, too, but the people that you in your... You know, group of friends. Oh my gosh, we had such a great wedding. Ours was 45 years ago. So, long time ago, but in Hopkins. And we had the Shibalevsky brothers, I think.
Oh,
it was a
yes.
polka band.
Of course.
And they.
You had a polka band there.
The vaudeville actor.
Yeah. And our guests actually took up a collection after we left at midnight, and they danced till like 4 in the morning.
Oh, that's a sign of a good time.
That is good.
Yeah.
Mary Ann
had an open bar.
Yeah, we're getting there. Go to Hopkins. Go to Pink Ivy. One of the best restaurants in town is fabulous. Okay, Adam, you first. Thank you, Mary Ann. Open bar. Yes or no on tied to a fun, memorable wedding?
I think open for at least, first hour. Free wine and beer.
Okay.
And, it's not required, though.
So lukewarm on how important that is.
Yeah.
Laura?
I would agree.
I agree, too. Mm-hmm. Lindsay, how important is the open bar?
You got to provide some sort of libation. I don't know if that's drinkies. I don't know if that's something else. But you have to provide it for part of it. And it has to be more than beer and wine.
Are you suggesting now edibles?
Well, I'm just saying it's an option. Not in Texas, but it's an option here.
Sneak in the edibles.
Oh, that'd be interesting. Laura, how about you go to the wedding, don't realize...
Dose everybody.
Your steak and chicken option, edible laced.
You'd probably get in trouble for that.
I don't think that's... going back to Marianne's point, Laura, on people, huge part of it.
Oh, yes.
Enormous part of it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's what it's all about. And you want different groups of people who don't know each other to get to know each other and to have a good time.
How important, Carter, are the speeches by the matron of honor and best man and anybody else who gets up?
They're not important unless they're an issue.
They're not important unless they're either an issue.
The only ones you ever remember.
How about really, really good? Sometimes the really good.
Good ones are,
Yeah.
And the shorter, the better.
Yes, that is correct. Okay. Your second wedding
mm-hmm.
was with Elvis
mm-hmm.
and the Lobster
mm-hmm.
in Vegas. And it was perfect for you guys, right?
Great. It was just exactly what perfect for us.
Okay. How about you and Heidi? Eau Claire.
It was a great wedding.
Great wedding.
I thought it was a great wedding.
Yep. Big?
Yeah, like 250.
That's big.
Yep.
Laura?
Both of mine were very small.
Yep.
My first one, we ran off to Mexico and got married on the beach in Puerto Vallarta.
Oh, that's great.
Just the two of us. And we did not know that we needed all of these witnesses ahead of time or it's not legal.
Oh.
So we ended up roping in the hotel staff to come and be our witnesses on the beach.
That's pretty good.
It worked.
It's fun.
It was fine. And then we had a big reception, not big, average-sized reception when we got home, which was fun. And then my second wedding was also very small. We got married in the Japanese garden at the Como Zoo, just our families, and then the pig roast out at Chris's parents' place outside Stillwater.
It's very nice.
It was wonderful.
Mm-hmm. We had a large wedding, over 400 people, at my father's place on the St. Croix, and it was tremendous.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it was not fancy because we were on the grass. The dancing was on. He has a tennis court out there. If he did it now, there's huge ruts. It would be perilous, but it was great fun, even to the point, and Kathleen planned way, way, way more of it, okay? And it was outside, and... We had tenting in case.
Yeah.
But she had put in so much work. So at like 10:30, because his place is out on a St. Croix, we were staying at the Lowell Inn.
Yeah.
And like at 10:30, she's like, let's go. I'm like, let's not. I am having so much fun. And I said, any option I could stay another hour or so? She's like, no, that's not.
No.
I go, I'm kidding.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean. I think that's so important for you to find a way to have fun at your own wedding.
Oh, yes.
Because I think some people feel like they're under such requirement to, okay, I have to circulate with everybody and I have to do all the pictures and you're so uptight and nervous.
I know.
Wait for the actual marriage to kick in, yeah, to get uptight and nervous, right?
One of the best pieces of advice somebody gave me is when you're at your own wedding, make sure that you take some time to just step aside and observe it. Like,
yes,
soak it all
That's
in.
That's great.
Just make that moment so you don't forget, because everything's such a whirlwind that, yeah, if you can consciously step out and just look and observe for 5-10 minutes, that
I love it.
Yeah, so we tried to do that. I think we did that.
Let's get to a few texts here. We had a 3-piece jazz band. Moon Dance was the wedding song, which we danced to. Excellent. That's pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
What makes a great wedding? A short ceremony. Adam, that can be really big.
Yes.
That can be really big. Had our wedding 1994. Had a band, the White Sidewalls. We were in the hall of a church for the reception. The priest had to come over at 1 a.m. and ask us to end the reception. Elopement wedding and dinner with 10 people less. That is what we're doing today, actually, for my daughter.
Wow.
Oh, nice. Oh, congratulations.
Exciting. Yes. I am going to be a part of that with Hunter, my oldest.
Yes.
In early November. Is getting married in La-di-da, Hawaii, and it's about 10 of us.
That's
and
perfect.
Just going there, and it's going to be amazing.
Like a White Lotus weekend.
Yes, well.
Not the same result, actually. I was just doing the theme song.
When things start going sideways, Laura, I'm going to be texting you. 5 of the guests have disappeared.
Yeah.
Food, entertainment, liquor. How about Elaine on Seinfeld and her dance?
Yes.
Yes. Yes. It's memorable, yep, right? Memorable. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
That was fun. That was fun. Major Garrett. We'll ask Major what makes a great wedding and also the return of the takeout. The great Major is next on CCO. Major's here. Like all of our guests, he's on the John Schuster Coldwell Banker Hotline. We have enormous news involving Major, which we'll get to in just a matter of minutes. But, Major, the previous topic involved what makes a good to great wedding. So when Major Garrett is attending a wedding and you and the bride are headed home, the limousine picks you up, sometimes the helicopter, whatever it might be, and you talk to Laura and you said, that was a great wedding. What needs to happen for you to utter those words?
Live band.
What if the band is mediocre?
But, well, I just believe a live band, even mediocre, is better than any other alternative.
Okay.
Because live music flows through a crowd differently. It creates a different atmosphere and energy. And they're only the worst that a live band for a wedding is going to be is mediocre. And many of them will surprise you on the upside. So I just think a live band is great. And for me, I don't like weddings with so many flowers that if you're sitting at a table, you can't see anybody other than the people sitting right next to you.
That's very good. Sometimes it's just obscene. Yeah, it's ridiculous. Put that out there on the Twitter machine. Major Garrett hates all flowers. That's what it is. Wants them all to die. No, you're absolutely right. It's just the centerpiece adds a lot. It's nice, but we don't need to have, like, we're in the middle of these azaleas at Augusta National.
And the other thing I would say, small. Small wedding.
Small wedding. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
What's the break number?
100.
100, okay.
110.
Okay.
Yeah. Just because big weddings apply too much pressure to the couple,
that's
to
fair,
the families,
yes,
and people don't know each other. They simply don't. And the weddings that are smaller, most people have some connection or one degree of separation. And with one degree of separation, anyone can make small talk. That creates a good vibe. That creates a good energy. But if you have a really big wedding and a lot of people don't know each other, there's just these dead zones and they can't be helped. That takes down the collective energy of the wedding. So those are things I would say are consistent with the experiences that I've had when I say that's a great wedding. That was super fun.
Okay, speaking of a good vibe and good energy, that's what the takeout had often. a project you dearly loved, put a lot of time into it, would say often the best part of your week was a part of the takeout where you would sit down with newsmakers across the spectrum, not just politicians, often at a great haunt, a great restaurant, bar, somewhere in the D.C. area, sometimes even on the road, and you would sit there and chop it up, literally chop up some food and chop up the conversation. As you said to us many times, that can be such a great elixir when all of a sudden you're sharing a meal or a beverage and you open up and it went away. And guess what? The takeout is back. Congratulations. Fantastic news. Tell people the details.
So we have a show called America Decides, WCCO, the first in the nation to take that show.
Yes, correct.
It's our weekly political show, runs at 5 o'clock Eastern. That name, America Decides.
Done.
Yeah. It's kind of outlived its usefulness starting on November 6th.
They decided.
we decided. So we were in the process of creating a new name and a new identity for that show. Then I was named the regular anchor of the show after the election. And I'll just summarize things this way. There was a lot of corporate convulsions about what to call the new show.
I can only imagine.
I allowed those convulsions to run in many different directions. Confident that as those convulsions did not yield something that was satisfactory, I could come along with a title that would be. And I did. And I said, we're going to call it what we called my old show, The Takeout. Oh, I'm not so sure about that. Like, yes, we are. Took a while, but I persuaded people that it was really the best way to go because it's an existing brand. People know the show. People remember what it had, a great vibe.
Tied to you, also.
And it had me, but a relaxed tone.
Yep.
As I said all the time, relentlessly curious, steadfastly not ideological. We just want to learn. I said, I can take those sensibilities to a daily show. We will do the news. We will be on the news. We will be on what's happening in the political world. But we will also have fascinating conversations with people who are straight in the harness of politics, lawmakers, party chairmen, things like that, administration officials. We'll also have scientists, comedians, authors, documentarians. And the show will be a hybrid. It will be a daily show that has to live in the confines of a TV show. What does that mean?
Mm-hmm.
8-minute segments, 9-minute segments, 10-minute segments if we're lucky. But you got to go to commercial break. You got to come in and you come out. Okay, that's not the informal part of a podcast. However, we will have informal conversations. The set is a kind of set that feels informal. It will imbue in people a sense that I feel like I'm sitting at the back of a bar. That's right. You're not in a super high gloss, high intensity, surgical Washington, D.C. TV studio. You're like at a big table just having a chat. We're going to have those sensibilities. And when we have long-form interviews, I just did one today, which we're going to air a little bit of next week, we'll run parts on the confined TV show, because every TV show is confined.
Mm-hmm.
And then all of it will run on the YouTube page and on the podcast platform. So you'll get both things in
Excellent.
Both places.
Remind people if they want to watch the show. I got to be honest, our 4 o'clock show here, this Jason DeRusha guy, is brutal. I mean, I don't know how anybody listens to it at all. So I would gladly consume you. I already do. But, you know, and he's got a very massive ego. So, I mean, this will bring him down a little bit. In fact, he right now is being, the rosebuds are being laid out in front of him as he walks into the building. I love him. I'm kidding. How can people find the show? What's the easiest way to tell them how to find the show?
So it's on all over-the-top TV channels. So if you have the CBS News app, you just go there. It's on Paramount Plus. It's on all the other places that you find over-the-top TV news. You just have to put in Takeout with Major Garrett, and you'll find it. So it's on our streaming platform. That's available always, mm-hmm. all the time. It's on other streaming platforms, Paramount Plus. You can always find it. The show will be archived. And like I said, the podcast platform and the YouTube page will always be there. They never went away. When management ordered me to end the takeout, I said, I'm keeping them. They're going to stay here because we're coming back. And they're like, how can you be so sure? I'm like, don't underestimate me. So we are coming back. I promised the audience in January we would come back.
Yes.
And here we are.
And also, Monday through Friday on this radio station, you sent me a photo of the set. You know what the set needs? The picture of the four of us who played Stone Eagle in Palm Springs.
Yeah.
Off in the corner. That's what the set needs. You looking like you want to break clubs over your knee at that point.
Yes, to be clear, Chad Hartman played Stone Eagle. I watched Chad Hartman play Stone Eagle, and I chased a lot of golf balls errantly in the process.
But you still had a great time.
I did. Yes. I did. It would be magnificent, magnificent golf course.
Yeah, it's
really
good.
And as I've said before, and I will always say it, watching you play golf is a thing of beauty.
I had a good day. Trust me, there's many, many bad days. All right, let's pause because guess what else is back? Not just the takeout, but tariffs. Oh, yeah, we all missed the tariffs, didn't we? The tariffs are back. Back with the best in the business, Major. I'm going to talk about Aquarius. Aquarius, I talked about Aquarius at the Fan, then here because Dave was so tied to Aquarius in Connecticut, it made sense. But now, Dave and I are both talking about it. And it's not just that I'm talking about Aquarius on the radio. I have Aquarius at my house. I have had Aquarius at every place that I've lived in since 1993. So this isn't your silly fake talk host. Hey, what's my product? I got to talk about it. I know nothing about it. No, I used it today. When I woke up, talk host. Hey, what's my product? I got to talk about it. I know nothing about it. No, I used it today. When I woke up and used water for drink, used water for oatmeal, had a little laundry going, so the water softener was in play, makes sense to go with Aquarius. This is a family-owned business. You want to have water that tastes great, that is safe, and is useful to you. They'll come out, AquariusHomeServices.com, and test your water. Get that drinking water system. You want to expand? These folks are one-stop shopping. I'm going to talk more about that coming up with cooling, heating, water treatment, plumbing, electrical. They can do it all. I love how Aquarius says earning the right to be recommended. They earn that every day. I trust them 1,000%. AquariusHomeServices.com. Right back with our friend Major Garrett, the president, in a tweet today. Talks about the European Union. They've been unfair, not negotiating trade deficit. And at the end, he says, therefore, I am recommending a straight 50% tariff on the EU starting June 1st of this year. Okay. I thought I just had heard the president the last couple of weeks saying that they were making progress. This is during the 90-day pause. I think this timing's rather interesting, considering the dinner he had last night. We'll get to that also, but what's your read on the president and the wording of this announcement?
That all the optimism that you heard from the president and top economic advisors to the president 2 weeks ago, everyone's rushing. They all want a deal. The deals are on the doorstep. We're going to announce them soon. Mm-hmm. We have one.
Yes.
With the United Kingdom. And it's not even a deal yet.
No.
It hasn't even been signed. One. Mm-hmm. Now, just a quick reminder. We have free trade agreements with South Korea and Japan already. Full-blown agreements, but they've been canceled by Trump. We have a free trade agreement negotiated by President Trump, approved by Congress with Mexico and Canada, eradicated by Trump because of his new tariff policy, and all the sense that, well, once I do this, once I set this in motion, I'm going to be in control. He told The Atlantic magazine, the president of the United States, the first term I ran the country, now I run the country and I run the world. the optimism, the sense that I run the world.
Yeah, they'll fall in line.
Is not manifesting.
Nope, not at all.
And if the tariff conversations are going his words, again, I like to quote the president, though it aggravates him greatly to be reminded of what he said. Nowhere. What does that mean? That means your tariff policy and your either relaxation of it or pausing of it is not having an effect because nobody knows what you ultimately want. Do you want revenue? Do you want a rebalance? Do you want a reshoring? Do you want reindustrialization? All of those things filter through this conversation, but until our trading partners know actually what you want, they don't know how to negotiate with you. So they're not going to rush headlong into a deal when they don't know what you're trying to achieve because they have economic interests of their own they are trying to protect. And if you want nations in the European Union, many of which are members of NATO, to have the economic wherewithal to boost their defense spending, which the president definitely does, they need stronger economic growth to do that. And they might think twice about trade deals with you that they fear might not work out as well for them as it will work out for the United States, harming them economically, making them less able to spend more money on defense as a strong and stout NATO member. What do you want? Which of these things do you want more? And can you communicate clearly to people how to get there? Right now, there's this imagery that the president has created with the Qatari jet, and then this week with the South African president, Cyril Ramaphosa. We won't go into all the other things he said, misusing the term genocide in a way that is borderline rhetorically criminal. But just turning into him and said, you know, we got a question about the jet. You know, if you got a jet, I'll take one.
Yes.
Whether that's serious or unserious, it is now baked into preparations every head of state has to bring to the table. Is this president, in public or in private, going to ask me for some sort of gift, some sort of implied grief to what we're there to talk about? Those things make these hard trade conversations harder. That's a reality.
Last night, according to Caroline Leavitt, the press secretary, the president was on his own. He wasn't the president last night, so there was no need for transparency. Yeah. He was just Don Trump, and he had a meeting on his crypto venture with who? We don't know. And there's some report on who was there, but they won't release who. This obviously is something where in the first Trump term, he just dismissed crypto. This is ridiculous. This is nonsense. Well, then he saw, wait a second. I can make an extraordinary amount of money, especially if I become the president of the United States and people fawn on me and they buy into my meme coin because they want access and what can I potentially give them? You're not allowed to say, hey, 9 to 5, I'm the president, and then I can go have dinner and have huge financial implications, and nobody needs to know about it. This is stunning, and it's happening right in front of our eyes.
It is, and consistent with what I have said many times on this program and elsewhere, the underlying ethos of Donald Trump's relationship to politics and office holding. What are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? He looks in every direction. What are you going to do about it? I'm doing this. What are you going to do about it? And he keeps challenging, and that's been consistent throughout this Trump 2.0, in every direction, pushing up against federal law, pushing up against the Constitution, pushing up against norms.
Like Harvard.
And this, like Harvard, exactly. Yep. But this is, so first of all, to your point, it is a 100% fabricated myth that there is such a thing as personal time for a president of the United States. There is no personal time.
Never.
You are president every second you are in office. From the moment you are sworn in to the moment the next president is sworn in, you are president all the time. You are never not president, ever. There is no personal time. There is no drawbridge you can pull up and say, well, the ethical constraints of the presidency are now over, and I will lower the drawbridge, and then they will resume. No, they don't. And if people don't think this is not a pathway to persuasion, and I'm being diplomatic in that phraseology.
That was very kind of you.
Kid, you're kidding yourself. Yeah. Think about this. The pardon power of the president is unquestioned and cannot be checked. If you are a meme coin purchaser, you're on a list. If you have a client who needs a pardon, that client will pay you because he knows or she knows you're on the list. And that list will get your phone calls returned, your emails returned, meetings conducted because you're on this list. How did you get on the list? Because you put a bunch of money directly into a Trump company, directly into it while he's president.
And we never see the list.
And we never see the list. And one of the people that we do know who is there, I think it was the top bidder, is trying to get the Trump administration to either erase or minimize or reduce some civil penalties. I mean, this is happening in full public view, and it goes back to that phrase that always rings around my head with Trump. What are you going to do about it?
Great stuff as always, sir. Enjoy the weekend. Congrats on the takeout, and we will talk next week.
Great. Thanks.
Major Garrett, right here on Newstalk 830 WCCO. Reminder, the Lindis Construction Time Check is 12:58. Time to get 75% off installation labor on LeafGuard brand gutters before the heavy rains hit. Well, they've been hit. The offer ends end of May. Shaletta, early next hour with Feisty Friday. Up next, CBS and Laura Oakes.